mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 397, the last one of 2018. And with me this week... Thank you. And this week... Oh, you made me stumble over my words. With me this week is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I walked this planet for decades. Floors are fine.
Debbie Melrose.
Oh, another cheery one.
Rhys Parton.
Yippee-ki-yay, robots.
I'm hoping that Mary Lang might wake up at some point during the show. She's not here yet. There you go. And I couldn't be bothered to mess around with silly old quotes because I'm too busy. And Joshua Dyble says, hi, Adam. I think he means hi, Adam. Hi, everybody. But hi, Joshua. Thank you for being... Oh, we've got two viewers. My goodness. Now, we've only got Kirby for how long, Kirby?
40 minutes now.
Yes, get in. And this week, Rhys, we're going to be reviewing the episode. Well, you're holding yourself up here, Kirby. That was your own fault. You just lost about 10 seconds. So we're going to be reviewing which episode, Rhys?
The Battle of Ranscor Ab Kolos.
Yes, Rhys is the only person to actually say that. So congratulations, Rhys. Oh, be quiet, Kirby. Right then. Hang on, I'm just going to turn the volume up on my speaker. Because everybody's so quiet this morning.
Yeah, that's better. Who's making all this noise?
You. Right then, here we go. So that's a 49-minute show. So we start the episode with the title sequence, as usual. And then we have a nice shot of a planet. It's very reminiscent of a sort of the opening to Rose.
Which I watched last night, didn't I?
Now, before I get on, what I forgot to say, because Rhys actually said that we're watching this, we're doing a review on the Battle of Ransk, that what you just said. What I should have said was, this week we're going to do Pirate Planet 2, where we're going to be reviewing the remake of Pirate Planet. Big one?
The less fun sequel,
yes. or prequel. You know, this could be sequel. Because never mind, moving on. Yeah, so anyway, that's a classic Doctor Who reference for any of those classic Doctor Who fans who should really know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so and then we have these two characters who are sort of staring at the sky, and they've got...
Master?
Yes?
We also had a very, very nice quarry. Yay!
Well, should hope so too. It's Doctor Who. And they've got dreadlocks and special powers. I don't know what comes first, whether the special powers come first or the dreadlocks. But apparently there's only two of these people in their species. Is that right?
Yes.
God, yeah, a box. Only ever two. They're like Sith.
And then then something happened. They got too close. They got too close to the sun, and their eyes started glowing. Yes. And then lots of rocks started... getting together, then they dropped. So they've obviously got...
The guy looks like he's throwing up when he's moving back and forth trying to make the rocks do it.
So they've got exceptional telekinetic powers. And then 3,407 years later...
Exactly. On a Tuesday.
Yeah. The Doctor and the crew are... what was the reason they had to go? Was there like a... there was a... distress calls. So they have to go and land on this dissolute spaceship, and then the bloke from Full Monty and Jack Frost comes out of the shadows, pointing a gun at the Doctor. He's in Game of Thrones as well, is he?
Well, everybody's in Game of Thrones.
I've never seen Game of Thrones, so I couldn't vouch for it. And then I think fairly quickly the Doctor, obviously before they land, realises that they've got to wear these sort of things to stop them, their minds going a bit funny.
She knew about planning ahead of time for some reason.
So she managed to get one of these little things on the bloke from the Full Monty, and his head started clearing a little bit after that.
After the night before.
Yeah. So yeah, then we have a period in which they get a bit of backstory, and there's some ropey old YouTube graphics of these people, and then a shot of Tim Shaw comes up on the screen.
Tim Shaw.
Tim Shaw.
And of course, there's an expression on Graham's face when he sees Tim Shaw.
Oh yeah, I was really worried that we were going to lose Graham as a decent man in this episode.
There's only a little slight continuity issue with that.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to lose some New Year's.
There's a continuity issue with that I didn't particularly like. Directional continuity issue. Because when obviously we see Tim Shaw come up on the screen, there's a shot of Graham. Bear on, just moving the frames forward a little bit. Yeah, there's a shot of Graham looking really sort of upset. And then the next frame, after another shot of Tim Shaw, is of Graham in the background, not looking so upset. And then he's looking upset again. So.
Oh. Yes. Oh, I'm really upset about that continuity error, which I wouldn't have even noticed.
You out-pedanted
her. He'll be out something else in a minute. Anyway. Yeah, so there's a little cube with something in it. The Doctor's quite interested in this. Does she know it's a planet at the early stage? I don't know if she does. No. But she picks it up nevertheless. I thought it was quite clever, actually, isn't it? You see this little thing sort of spinning around and vibrating. It actually looked to me a little bit like a cell, you know, a biological cell with a nucleus in the middle.
It looked a bit like one of those things from last week, I thought, or the last episode.
What things?
The middle zone.
One of my alarms is going off. I forgot about it. I'll be right back. I can hear you.
That's alarming.
Oh, Debbie liked that one. So anyway, they go traipsing through the quarry. And there's a point, obviously, then Graham stops the Doctor and said, look, just to let you know, Doctor, if I come across this Tim Shaw bloke, I'm going to kill him. And the Doctor said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. And he said, well, she says, if you do, then obviously
you can't come with me anymore.
Yeah.
You do it, you're as bad as him, dare you.
But he quite calmly says, nope, going to kill him. And so they just carry on.
Oh, as I was watching this last night, my youngest daughter came in to the kitchen where I was watching this, and she was intrigued and may actually watch the show. She hasn't watched since 11.
Yes.
She's actually quite enjoyed this series just because of the contrasting episodes and anything else.
She asked me if the Doctor had any problems story-wise from being a woman. I said yes.
Uh-huh.
And she also wanted to see the Sonic.
Yeah, ducking stalks brings to mind quite quickly.
That's a shame, isn't it? But moving on.
It's a nice quarry.
It turns out in this episode they're traipsing through a quarry with a lot of rocks and explosions happening.
Yeah.
And they're searching for an antagonist called Tim.
Yeah.
Tim might have moved Monty
Python. They call me
Tim. Anyway, so the Doctor has some bombs and some old Star Trek tricorders and stuff like that. And they find this sort of very tall, sort of weird looking rock that seems to be balancing weirdly. And then what are they wearing on their foreheads? What are they called? I don't know, Debbie. What are they wearing?
Neural balances.
That's it. Mm. So anyway,
like that.
The Doctor sonics them into the. Is it a ship? I don't know what it is.
I think it's a shrine.
A shrine. Okay. Well, she sonics them into the shrine.
The sonic isn't what did it.
No. She uses sonic. They
finds the doorbell.
Whatever. They get in.
Yeah. He uses the sonic to do that, though, so you're right, Adam.
Yes, okay.
Thank you. And then they meet up with the woman who's the dreadlocked woman. Well, the Doctor does anyway. And, they have a conversation. And she realizes that what species she is, I think. I think her name was.
Really impressed because they're legends.
Yeah.
They're called Ox.
Oh, are they? And of course, as what has usually happened in this series, we got
Dinio and Del.
Yeah, think of that. Graham and Ryan go off together, and the Doctor and Yaz go off together. That seems to happen all the time. I think they should mix it up a bit. And then Yaz and Paltraki, I think his name is, go into a room where obviously the pirate and that have disappeared. They've just got the planets in the cubes. Still don't know their planets yet. And then But then the Doctor comes and stumbles across Mr. Shaw, who's...
Well, she makes the Ux lady show Tim Shaw her.
Oh, of course, he's the creator. I forgot to mention this. The creator has been used in so many sci-fi genres, it's quite amazing. Because I was seeing the news about Voyager 1 going out of the heliosphere. Although I can't understand, I'm trying to find out somewhere, because they had a diagram of the heliosphere, which was like this cigar-shaped thing with the solar system at one end of it, why it's cigar-shaped. But yeah, that was quite interesting. Of course, it got me thinking about Star Trek the Motion Picture and...
Yay.
The creator in that and stuff like that. Yeah.
You mean Star Trek the Motionless Picture?
Kirby, shut up. It's a really good film. The re-edited version, or is it the director's cut version? That's really, really good. It's a good film anyway. It's a good film anyway.
It's been so long since I've seen that. Maybe I'll get that version.
It's a bit grumpy. The only thing, it's a bit grumpy and dour, but it's a really, really good film. I love it. It's the most atmospheric of all the Star Trek movies. It's really, really good.
When it came out, I loved it because we were getting Star Trek.
Well, yeah. But did you see what I posted on the 20 megabyte page, Mr. Bartlett Sloan?
No.
It's a trailer for Picard. It looks fantastic.
It does look good.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. And thankfully, Will Wheaton's in it, so they managed to... He's definitely not doing any more Big Bang Theories. No spoilers. And he couldn't be bothered to shave off his beard. Right then, moving on.
Let me download it so I can watch it later.
They did a really good... when the Doctor and Tim Shaw had a conversation, I'm so pleased the Doctor said, "What happened?" or something of those lines, and Tim Shaw said, "You happened, Doctor," which happens all the time in Doctor Who. I love it.
I like the way she said, "I got a new code."
Yeah. So he hasn't acquired any more teeth since, obviously, but he's quite pleased with the situation, because now he's sort of got all these sort of extra powers that he wouldn't have had if the Doctor hadn't sort of imprisoned him. Okay, the voice was quite sort of, again, that was a
I actually
Omega thing, wasn't it?
On this episode a lot better than his first one.
You did?
See, I liked him in both.
Anyway, so at this point we find out that what's inside the QB the tetrahedron thingies, I suppose they're called, is in fact a planet. And of course we know that we are now watching another version of the Pirate Planet, a less funny version of Pirate Planet. I'm just moving ahead a bit here, because essentially it's a bit of running around corridors, and then of course we get the bit where Graham is face to face with he has the opportunity to kill what's his name again? Oh yeah, Tim Shaw. But decides better of it, because maybe they're going to give him a new contract for 2020 when the next series comes on. But of course, what we find out, surprise, surprise, as was in Pirate Planet, the next target for Tim Shaw, because he has a bit of a grudge against it, is Earth. A bit disappointed by the computer graphic version of Earth that they had on the screen. It didn't have any clouds on it. But at least when it comes to the big... the graphic they used for when they started sort of beaming this stuff against Earth and all this sort of red stuff started going on, really did remind me of one of the Star Trek movies. I think it was... the first one, motion picture, what they were planning to do there. They start doing the business. Then we see the little diamond shaped button that appears in midair, which
doing
obviously.
The business.
Pardon?
Nothing.
What episode did you watch?
I watched Pirate Planet. So the Doctor has to stop them, and of course Graham is kick ass in this episode with his gun. The only option that they have is obviously the Doctor's new friends have the power to reverse everything, basically. And again, that reminded me of the Mentiads. What?
Yes.
Using the TARDIS.
And that. Yeah. But that reminded me of the Mentiads in Pirate Planet had these special powers.
Almost like Chibnall had watched that episode.
And thought that none of the Doctor Who fans either would have watched it.
But, well, I was a bit annoyed that the Doctor goes, impossible.
Yeah, impossible. Or why doesn't the Doctor say, this reminds me of something a couple of thousand years ago?
Exactly.
But the reaction wasn't quite as good as Tom Baker's reaction when obviously in the film his reaction in Pirate Planet.
But what's it for?
Yeah, that was spot on. But especially as we just had a fairly light-hearted episode, and his reaction to that really that was hard hitting. Obviously, the 13th Doctor's attitude was similar, but not as hard hitting as Tom's. The Doctor, that is, they all sort of clear off. Like I said, Graham has the opportunity but doesn't kill Tim Shaw. And everything is put all sort of, what would you call it, Moffat-y. I think everyone lives and all the planets are put back.
Everybody lives except for that one crew member.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Had her face frozen off.
Yeah, had her face frozen off.
I'm sure it does, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah. And they warp away and... that is that. Then we have a little trailer for a very, very little trailer for the New Year's Eve, or is it Day special? I can't remember. It was.
I hope you've heard the rumours.
What rumours?
It's not confirmed.
What rumours?
Not confirmed.
What rumours?
It would definitely make his lie not a lie in that. Oh, no classic monsters in this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah. Oh.
Do you know what the rumor is, Adam?
Go on then. Dar-X. Why not? Let's have a Dar-X. Okay, I'm moving on.
They were so creepy and scary when I.
Yeah. At least it's not Daleks, because obviously that would be a bit annoying if it was Daleks. But the Daleks, I quite like the Isle of Daleks. Right then, so I'm going to just say what I think of this story. Bear in mind, what I did like, it was a standalone story. There was a little bit of, tie-in with earlier parts of the series. But there was no series arc at all, really, this year. There was little mentions and things like that. And they was always saying when Doctor Who came back that because of the way American TV works, you have to have a series arc. You don't, clearly, because for me, this worked really, really well. Yeah, there was a little bit of a bench, but this was just one episode of Doctor Who, the last one of the series. It didn't feel like a finale. It just felt like an episode of Doctor Who. I don't know whether New Year's Day one will sort of feel a bit more like a finale or not, but for me, it was okay. I think the only thing with the series is maybe have one that was a two-parter, perhaps. I quite like that, have a cliffhanger occasionally, because I think a couple of the stories could have benefited from being a bit longer and not being crammed down into their 50-minute time slot. But this one, definitely wasn't the best of the series. Obviously, it was a bit of a shame it was so much like Pirate Planet. In regards to the ideas of it, again, it was quite pretty to watch. It's got sort of character building with Graham and the fact that we had lots of running around corridors, very Doctor Who-y. But like I say, it wasn't the best, but it certainly wasn't the worst end of series episode for me. I thought it was okay, but that's all I can say. It was okay. I don't know whether it's Chibnall's best script of all. Script episode of the series, or somebody else might want to tell me that one, but it was okay. So Lillian Robin says, hey there. That's hey there, Lillian, hashtag Lillian's legs. And okay, I'm going to move on to Reese. What did you think of it?
I personally disagree that there should have been a season/series arc. Don't jump in and say series, just let it through.
No, we're over it. We're over it now.
What are those things from the Seranga conundrum? Com, nearly the other word, condoms. It's nearly that, but
I couldn't remember.
She referenced that in this episode, and then she said to Yaz, I'm going to try and find the precise location, a bit like we did with your Grand's watch, and she kept referencing things in previous episodes. It should be the other way around. Previous episodes should reference this one coming up, and it just ultimately left me feeling a bit flat. I wasn't too keen on this one. It seemed quite slow for most of it until I think literally the half an hour mark, where Tim Shaw had had his rant, he'd set up his plan, and then the Doctor started running in slow motion to the room where the Uks were, and things started to pick up a little bit. And personally, I think that the planet shouldn't have been Earth, it should have been Gallifrey, because there's a line about the Stenza having a vast knowledge of the universe, and his plan was to combine that knowledge with the power of the Uks, and he could become a god.
Yes.
And I think it would have been much more impressive if they were actually attacking Gallifrey, and despite all of the hard work the Doctor's put into saving it recently, there would have been a massive threat towards it. So, yeah, there were lots of missteps in this one for me. But there were things I liked. Jamie Childs, the director, is one of my favourite things from this year.
Yeah, he's great.
Been
I want to see more.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to go turn off another alarm. I'll be right back.
Also alarming.
I'm upset. Shut up, Ina. Shush.
What else? I liked, what's his name? Samuel Oakley, who played Tim Shaw. He's done a great job in both episodes. Although the character was better served in this because he actually had a culmination to his story. Graham is always amazing. Yaz is always, unfortunately, underused. And Ryan is... I was actually thinking about it earlier on, and it feels like the three companions we have now are the three companions from the RTD era all in one. You've got Ryan, who's kind of... Often he's pretty good. He has some really cool stand-up moments, and sometimes he's annoying. And for me, that's Rose.
Yeah.
You have Graham, who's amazing and poignant and wonderful, and everyone doubted, and then once he appeared on screen,
Donna.
He's excellent.
You had Donna. Yeah.
And then you have Yaz, who has so much potential, occasionally a great moment, but Martha. Then sometimes just there is Martha. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like this episode is just an example of that. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's more or less what I said.
Yeah, pretty much.
Adam?
Yes?
Isla would like to say about this last episode of Doctor Who.
Isla, what did you think?
It was amazing.
Ooh.
Why was it amazing? Did you like Tim Shaw with the teeth?
Yeah.
And the what?
And the Uks.
You like the Uks. What did you like best about the Uks?
That their eyes glowed when they did their thing.
There's quite a few Doctor Who stories you can watch where people's eyes glow.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those. Go on, have you finished what you were saying? What did you think about the whole series? This whole series?
Well.
Do you like... Which episode didn't you
The spider one.
No.
No?
Is that the one with the monsters? Yeah, the mud monsters.
Oh,
the,
right, yeah.
Like the witch
one. That's one of the better ones.
Yeah, that's
terrible. Really?
Not according to the layman viewer, no. Who's next? Oh, Debbie, as you're there.
Sorry?
As you're there. Hey, before you say, Lillian Robin says, I thought it was pretty good. She's obviously talking about the podcast. Oh, here comes the post.
Right. Well, we knew Tim Shaw was going to come back. I was just waiting for how many other enemies were going to come back from this season, because that's a pretty Moffat thing to do, obviously.
Yes.
But I was pleased they only brought him back, and not everybody. But yeah, going for Earth again, catching the planets. Mm. It's been done. It was not exactly a grand finale to what has been majority episodes okay and some outstanding. And it's been a very odd season to watch, and to finish on this one just felt a bit anticlimactic.
Mm.
And, I'm very pleased that they've all been standalone episodes, you know, that sort of thing. It's been great to have that rather than the full arc going across the series has been great, because then people can just dip in and out, like you can with Classic Who, a lot of it. So that was really good. But I felt, this story's been done, and the Uks were very Sith. And it didn't really bring anything new to the table, and I was hoping that it might have finished with something new or another conundrum or something. I mean, when you reference back to the planet where they, you know, you have the talking rags and things like that, I thought we might see a bit more to do with what they were alluding to, but no, nothing's been said. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season. I'm just gutted that we've got to wait till 2020. Series seasons, however, I think Jodie did really well. Graham was fantastic. I was desolate that I thought he was just going to kill Tim Shaw and end up leaving the TARDIS. Because obviously they've written it like that, just in case Bradley Walsh couldn't come back. That's what I got the feeling of. And it felt like they were either he could be written out or not. That's what it felt like in this episode, which was a shame. But yeah, he's been my favourite throughout, and the surprise of the series for me has been him. But Jodie's been fantastic. I just hope she gets better treatment in the next series.
Thank you. Lillian Robin Rilo disappointingly says the episode silly, so not the podcast then.
Oh.
Kirby.
Silly, she's right.
Yeah,
the podcast is great. Thank you. Kirby, go on then. What do you think?
I guess I watched a different story than you guys. I loved it.
No.
I went into this one not expecting much, because we all knew Tim Shaw was back. I didn't particularly like him in the opening episode. And he was more rounded out and had and was interesting, and this whole thing was a really engaging story. And it didn't bother me. It wasn't a season series finale, because
yes.
why do we need one? I mean, it's just, back in the old days, if you watch as we're going along with the journey,
yeah,
we often don't know or notice when a season changes in the middle of a doctor's run. It's really only when a major thing happens, like a companion changes, and that would often happen in the middle of the series season.
True.
so I kind of liked it, because it kind of harkens back to the old days, which may be Chibb's idea.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Does he like being called Chib?
I'm just calling him that.
Why not?
Well, the other one was called the Moth, wasn't he?
But I liked it.
Hooray! Well, we got through that quite well. Well done, everybody. Right then. So, moving on.
For 15 more minutes.
Shut up. So we move on to feedback. That's another few seconds lost because of that. Jeff Waddle sent an email last week, which I forgot to read out. He wasn't very happy about it. And there we go. Right, then he says, this is last week's one. If Ian Kirk doesn't use the song "They're Coming to Take Me Away" by Napoleon the 14th in his feedback, I'll be very surprised. I can't remember if he did or not.
Yes, they did.
Oh, good, right. I thought this was a wonderful episode, bizarre, and yet... This is talk about last week's, by the way. Bizarre and yet still very much Who. Probably my favourite single episode for a good 4 or 5 years. I don't get why everyone is bothered with the frog. It could literally have been anything. It was simply a manifestation of something to allow the communication with the doctor. I thought it was a one... Oh, I've done that bit. Sorry, it's a very difficult reading like this. There seems to be some misunderstanding as to why I've been unimpressed with Jodie after a promising start. It's simply because she was in the background to begin with hints of her taking control, and it was a refreshing change. But the writing for her, or indeed the acting, has been all over the place. We're going to be finishing the season, and I still can't tell you what her doctor is. They've written her as a human in the TARDIS instead of the doctor, possibly due to her change of gender, but they've thought it would be too much for the audience, but it's completely exasperated me. I'm not convinced she's right for the role. Every other actor playing the doctor nailed it long before the end of the first season. Jodie was more like the doctor in this episode, but they made this second in the run. They made it second episode. That's good. Didn't know that. So it must be a deliberate ploy for her to be in the background more. To be honest, Bradley Walsh has acted better than the lot of them put together, and he was again outstanding in this episode. Ah, well, on to the finale. What could go wrong? We will talk about the Facebook stuff in a minute. Right, and then he wrote another email. No, he said that on Facebook. Yeah, he said, I'm still waiting for a battle. I've got no problem with the finale of a season being low key compared to the usual universe shattering garbage, but this was so uneventful I actually wish last week's had been the finale. Two people with immense powers for no reason, the only two in existence, they said. Famous at the same time on three planets. My mind switched off after that. A villain that nobody cared about comes back and is defeated by a shot on his foot and being helped into storage container thing. And that's all.
Possibly go wrong with that stasis.
If you like shots of people walking in quarries, this is great. Well, Kirby likes shots of people walking in quarries because it's traditional. Yeah. 10 episodes this season. 3 I would watch again. A couple I wouldn't care if I saw again or not. And 4 or 5 I would switch off the second I saw them. It's not been great, has it? That's been about how I felt this season since season 5. It's another season I won't be buying on DVD, and I'm at the stage now I hope actually don't care less. Couldn't care less, sorry, if the show ends for a while or not. Chibnall cannot write Good Who, and his writer's room thing has made no difference to the overall quality of the stories. Can't produce more than 10 episodes a year. Time to knock it on the head. Oh, okay, you're not quiet. They don't know. But, are you still there?
Yeah.
Sorry, a couple of times I've lost the audio, but I thought you'd lost the plot.
You sometimes complain if we interrupt you.
Well, I'd had to come to the end of the email, so you never mind. Right then.
How are we supposed to know that? We can't see it.
You could always opt for a smacked bottom, Kirby, if you carry on that way.
Alright, first Doctor, settle down.
Right, hang on, I'm just trying to find my priority jingle folder. Bear with me. So it's desperately required for this next piece.
10 minutes.
Shut up, Kirby. If you have a priority. Ah, there it is. I found it. Found it. Found it. I said, shut up. Not doing that bit. Right, hang on. Thanks to you, I've lost the folder. Oh, now I've lost the folder again because you're harassing me. Okay, right then. So, okay. We have another bit of feedback and we'll have to play. Where's it gone? Oh, there it is. This is Slick. This is Slick.
Hello, Ian.
Ian.
The Battle of Ying Tong Yin Lai Po. You heard what I said. I'm not going to repeat it. Ying Tong Yin Lai Po. Ying Tong. The Tooth Fairy again. So this is what a Chibnall series finale is like. It is not a Moffat finale, because it is not the end of a baffling timey-wimey plot. Mm. It is not a Davis finale, because there is no Rose Tyler. In the first story of the series, the Doctor teleports Tim Char into a random location to save his life after he was pushed off a tall crane. On a planet far, far away, two of the most powerful beings in the universe are performing an impressive feat of telekinesis, moving things with their minds. Their religion teaches that one day the Chosen One will come down from the sky to lead them. When Tim Char teleports in, they believe he is their messiah.
He's not the messiah, he's a very naughty boy!
The Sim orders them to steal planets and shrink them. This might be to create some kind of ultimate machine, like in the Pirate Planet or the Stone.
Oh, lost me audio. Sorry.
Says he's been on the planet for 3,470 years. So this is the
Sorry, audio issues.
Planet can cause paranoia and irrationality, so the team have to wear patches on their neck. Meanwhile, In 24th century England, Prime Minister is presenting later proposal for Brexit.
Ah!
In an atmosphere of paranoia and irrationality. I made that bit up.
No.
Eventually, Tinkerhead is defeated by Graham shooting him in the foot. He and Ryan put him in a stasis chamber, like Dave Lister in Red Dwarf. What could possibly go wrong? Apart from resolving the Tin Chow storyline, this is just another story. Rather than the kind of finale we are used to.
Appreciate it. To commit mass destruction and murder on a scale that's almost inconceivable, and you ask me to appreciate it? Just because you happen to have made a brilliantly conceived toy as the mummified remains of parents?
Carol Sands, Doctor! It is not a toy!
What's it for? What are you doing? What could possibly be worth all this?
By the raging fury of the Sky Demon, you ask too many questions.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian, for playing that clip, because that's what I was talking about earlier.
Yay.
Yes. Excellent. Yes, I'm glad that I wasn't the only one who spotted the similarities, shall we say.
Mm.
So that was the end of that feedback. Apparently we've got some more. There's more on the 20 Bug About Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And people ask me, why doesn't it have the which you can join bit on it? Well, unfortunately, I can't fit that many characters onto the thing. So we've shortened it to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. All right. Kirby asked for some comments.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Lauren X says, have to rewatch because the sight of Tim Shaw's codpiece was traumatized. Has traumatized me to anesthesia. what's that say? Amnesia. And then she posts a. Looks like a shot or something of said codpiece and said, oh my. That's really annoyed me actually, Laurie, because I was considering posting my photograph of myself in a codpiece while dressed as Blackadder several years ago when we all went around cows for New Year, all dressed as Blackadder at the second, and we all made codpieces out of those masks you do when you've got what they call those things? Those masks when you're doing sanding or whatever, painted black, used as a codpiece. Never mind, moving on.
Dust mask.
Dust mask, yes. Then Laurie Nix posted a picture of some weird animal. And then she posted a picture from Pirate Planet and said, is this the same story? We've established it probably is. Jeff Warder said, yes, I sent feedback, and that's me done.
That was Lillian who posted that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Lillian. Lillian Robbins said, I ended up watching Pirate Planet a few days ago. I love that story. We all love it, Lillian. It's a brilliant story. Laurie Dick said, woke up from 3 a.m. nightmare, and now you're talking about your codpiece. Yes, I'm talking about my codpiece. Am I still dreaming? No. I'm not wearing a codpiece now. I've just said I have worn one in the past. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite big enough, so it was a little bit. Anyway, moving on. Jeff Waddle said, yes, I said, I've done that one. Joshua Dybal said, sadly, I didn't like it. Great opening, but found myself losing interest quickly thereafter, actually forcing myself to watch it all the way through. Sorry, but there's so much I dislike about this episode, I won't elaborate. To spare you from the negativity, and I'm sure much of it has been said elsewhere before. Things can only get better. Yeah, there we go. That's unless there is something posted elsewhere that Kirby could tell me about.
I think there was another thread that's from earlier in the week. I'm not sure.
Well, Debbie Melrose posted showing Isla Rose.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Is that Rose Isla's middle name, or were you showing her the episode Rose?
Anne is her middle name. But yeah,
I'm scrolling through stuff. I posted the 8th anniversary of my getting the jelly baby.
Yes, we saw that, yes.
Yeah. That was ages ago.
Well, has anybody posted about the episode on that? No.
We just wanted to carry on with some Doctor Who, and Tom and I were discussing over dinner what we should start her with.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Other than the fact,
starting the journey, which we've already have, we thought we might show her, because we were referencing Rose when we were discussing some Doctor Who, and she doesn't know who she is, so we thought we'd start New Who as well as Classic Who with her.
Fair enough. Don't forget to show her the Doctor Dances Empty Child. That's quite a good one.
Oh, yeah, no, we're working our way up. We wanted to, we watched, you know, the one with Cassandra yesterday as well, because we want to watch next Sunday the one with Charles Dickens, because that's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Ooh, well, Master?
Yes?
If you scroll down to December 10th at 7:50, or well, whatever time it was for you, Laurie Nix, and she said, "Perhaps I've mellowed, but I enjoyed that season ender."
Oh, is that all she wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, that no long bit.
No.
Well, thank you, Laurie. Does anybody else write anything?
There's a few more things.
Oh, there's a few more things on it. Oh, yes. Kirby Bartlett Sloan, "I did too." Laurie Nix, "It's been a hypercritical couple of weeks for me." Patty Tiller says, "It was one of the better episodes of the series. The Doctor got to be decisive and in control and the heart of the show. Graham got a nice character development moment." Won't we all be disappointed if they write him out in the next episode?
Oh, yes.
I don't think they're going to kill him. He'll probably just leave.
I hope they don't. I hope that isn't the case. I have a funny feeling, and I'm probably wrong, I usually am in these instances, that the reason why there's a big gap is partly because Bradley Walsh's schedule can't fit him into Doctor Who, and I think he's too important, to be fair.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Lillian Lovely Robin says, "I was expecting the worst because Timmy was back, but it was engaging."
Little Timmy show.
"I've seen some negative points elsewhere, but this is one I know I will watch more than once. I never planned to watch Saring or Arachnids willingly again." I don't know. Yeah. Kirby Bartlett Sloan says, "Saranga," he says pedantically. What a surprise. Lillian Robin said, "Kirby Bartlett Sloan, you know what I meant. Adam, please sick magic or Kirby." On Kirby, I think magic's... I found out, I mean, since Andy left the show, remember magic used to shiver like anything when we recorded? We finally discovered it was actually Andy that made him shiver. Inadvertently, Andy would never harm the animal. Andy has, in fact, met Magic. But since he's not been on the show, Magic has calmed down again. So
I've got to go feed my wife, so...
Oh, it's like me finding out that I can't eat pastry because of the... it gives me heartburn. Now we know that Magic can't listen to Andy because it gives him everything burn. Yes, goodbye, Kirby.
When are we next recording?
Next year.
We'll work it out and let you know. Don't worry.
No fixed date yet, but it'll be next year. But not quite sure when yet, because we're going to talk.
We're not starting the journey yet.
No.
We're doing the series.
Well, we're doing the New Year episode.
Years worth.
Yeah, we're doing the New Year episode, and then we're doing a review of the whole series, and then we start the journey again.
Oh, okay. So we'll probably do it the Sunday after New Year.
Possibly.
Okay, well, let me know. Anyway, goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Goodbye. Right now we can talk about him.
Goodbye.
Right. What else have we got coming through? We've got Laurie Nick says, "I think I was drunk on Christmas." Oh, so I think I was drunk on Christmas cheer when I wrote that. Ah, oh, bless her. Well, have you gone off it now, Laurie? I think it sounds like she's gone again. You can't blame her. Right, so that is essentially it for that episode.
Did Alan not send anything?
I'm just double checking. No, he promised. Remember, he had a go at me last week because he said he's done an episode, a bit of feedback for every episode, but he hasn't, as far as I can make out, sent me anything. No, the last thing mentions frogs in relation to Alan, unless he's sent it somewhere that I haven't seen. He did that once. Nope, nothing from Alan. You are disappointed, aren't you, Debbie?
Yes, actually. I was all prepped and ready to go.
Yeah, well, if he sends something by way of a back statement, we'll have to tag it on to the next episode next year.
Okay.
Pardon?
Okie cokes, I said.
Yeah. Lauren X says, "It was the best one Chibnall wrote on his own, sort of." I couldn't disagree with that. Although I think the first episode had aspects of enjoyment in it. But yeah, I suppose that wasn't too bad. Right then. Anybody? I'm not going to go through the usual things of talking about sponsors and stuff, because if you haven't got your Christmas presents now via Lavazzi and whoone.co.uk, it's probably a bit too late, but you have been advised over and over again to do so. No quiz this week because I need to get back into doing quizzes. It takes up so much time, and I like doing them, but I'm not sure whether it will come back or not. But they are fun. I don't know. What should we do, Debbie?
I love
quiz. I love 2018.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might not come back. It might come back, but it's. I don't know whether we're gonna or I'm gonna have time to do quizzes based on the episodes or stories we're watching at the time, or more of a general knowledge. Quiz like we used to with the cards, you know, the Trivial Pursuit cards, which I think we've covered most of them anyway, or even my book, which is the ultimate Doctor Who quiz book. Note how I managed to work that into the thing, which you can purchase from Amazon and iTunes, along with my other books, like The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, which you can purchase from eBay, because it's not in print anymore. So if you want to buy a paper copy of it, you have to really look for it. But you can get them on eBay. See, people think it's so valuable enough to actually sell on eBay, which I'm quite pleased about in some ways. That's it then. You guys, have a lovely Christmas and think about
Merry
me.
Christmas.
And yes. Probably won't see you before the new year either. So have a nice new year as well. And
Adam, did you get my birthday invite?
What birthday invite?
Well, you obviously didn't get it then, so I'll resend it.
I can't remember. I've got it. The trouble is, Debbie, when what happens when I get any sort of messages, when I get any sort of messages come through, whether electrical ones, Deb sort of looks at them and then I don't realise I've got them because I look at the unopened emails and messages.
It's
you see.
In your folder, Adam Pearson.
Is it?
The last thing I sent you.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, thank you very much, Debbie.
I could invite you, Ruth, but I'm not sure how quickly you'll be able to get fans together to come over. You can join by Skype.
So, Lauren X says, happy holidays, spelt wrong. Joshua Dybel says, have a super Christmas, everybody. And Lauren X said, happy solstice birthday, Debbie.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, like I say, I was trying to say goodbye then, and I've got to try and record Adam's Bugbear's video vlog thingamajig in a minute. I did record one earlier on, but like I said, it all went a bit tits up thanks to Laurie's wanting to not look at my nose hairs. So,
I think the top of your list of bugbears is being interrupted when you're trying to end the show.
I'm used to that now. I'm immune to that. But yeah. I don't know. Present wise, Doctor Who wise, don't think I'm going to get much on that line because I think, as far as I know, it's a Big Bang Theory for Funko Pops. And that's about it, really. So, bye!
Bye, everyone. Happy
goodbye. I'm just going to end this on a positive note about the episode. See the sign on the front? We respond to urgent calls. You look like an urgent call. I like that quote.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.